Tishabov, Edward Toraway, Rabbi Shimshon Silk and Shlita.
Korolai Moye Lishmoy Bachurai. Megillas Eichor refers to Tishabov as a Moed. A Moed is normally a term that is associated with something celebratory, something that's a Yom Tov, something that's a Chag. The Moedim, Eile Moedah Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh. Strange, really, to call a day that is saturated with such negativity and mourning, sadness. Strange to give a day like that a title of Moed. What did Yirmiyahu HaNavi mean when he described this day as a Moed? The Gemara in Tanis Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph points out Tisha B'Av is a Moed, is a celebration of sorts. One would have thought that perhaps commiseration is a better term to describe Tisha B'Av than celebration. But remarkably, based on this concept of Tisha B'Av being referred to as a Moed, halacha is derived. For example, this morning we didn't say tachnun. There was no tachnun this morning, because tachnun is a tefillah that is associated with sadness, with trouble. No tachnun on Tisha B'Av. No lam natzeach on Tisha B'Av. Yancha Hashem b'yoyim tzora. May Hashem respond on a day of tzora, on a day of trouble, a day of anguish. Not appropriate on Tisha B'Av. No lam natzeach, no tachnun, no reference. To take it even further, Chazal it says, Lo yhoyo moed b'Yisrael k'yoyim shenechrav beis hamikdosh. There was never a moed in Klal Yisrael. There was never a moed in the history of the Jewish people like the anniversary of the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Some say not just the anniversary, but that day itself has this unique title, unique status, where it's not one of the Chagim, it's not one of the Yomim Tovim, it's not one of the Sholosh Regalim, it's not one of the Yomim Noroim. It's for all intents and purposes a day of choil. Yes, it says in halacha that melacha, that work, is not blessed on this day. Kala oisa melacha b'tisha b'av, eino roya simen brocha. And the oisa melacha, the Machabes says, anyone that works on Tisha B'Av will not see any benefit, any gain, any profit from that work. But that's not because of hilchus melacha. It's not referring to the lametes melachas of Shabbos. It means someone who goes and sits in the office. There's no Issa Malacha today. So Tisha B'Av is unique in that regard, that there's no Issa Malacha, it's not the Moed of Moyadim. And nonetheless, it's referred to as a Moed more than once in the Megillah, more than once, at least twice. It's referred to as a Moed. So this needs to be understood. Furthermore, not only did we not say Tachnun this morning, not only did we not say Lamanat Seach, but we did say Mizmor L'Soida. Mizmor L'Soida, Ril Hashem Kol Horas, Ivdu is Hashem B'Simcha. We should serve Hashem with joy. Joy, Simcha, on Tisha B'Av. And as the Sforim point out, the Avoida of Tisha B'Av is also an Avoida. Sitting on the floor, saying Kinnis, laying Megillah, Giles Eicha, and everything else that we do on Tisha B'Av is all part of the Avodah of Tisha B'Av. And if the Pasuk says, Ivdu es Hashem, we should serve Hashem, that includes all service of Hashem, including the Avodah of Tisha B'Av. And yet it says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, that there should be joy in that service. There should be joy in the morning. The service of Tisha B'Av, which is a service of mourning and desperation and desolation, is nonetheless performed in the spirit of Simcha. Never mind the famous Hasidic dictum that is attributed to Rav Nachman Mibreslev that says, Mitzvah gedoyla liyos b'simcha tamid, that there is a mitzvah to be constantly in a state of simcha. Tamid is constant. Constant means no matter what day, no matter what time. There is always an obligation and expectation that a person should be constantly in a state of simcha. Presumably, even on a day like Tisha B'Av. Because tamid means tamid. The Rambam in his Hakdama to Megillas Eicha brings out this point quite starkly by saying that it's well known that Ruach HaKodesh and certainly Nevuah, prophecy, only resides on a person who is in a state of Simcha. When a person is in a state of joy, that's when they can expect to be visited upon by a divine presence. But where there is no joy, there is no Shekhinah, there is no divine presence, and there's no Nevuah. Asks the Rambam, how was it possible for Yirmiyahu Hanavi to write Eicha, which is dripping with tears, and is laced with sadness? How is he able to write those words, which would have required Ruach HaKodesh, which would have required Nevuah, which would have required an attachment to a higher world, while in such a state of sadness? How is it possible? He must have been besimcha to write Megillas Eicha. This was Nevuah at its highest level. How do we say Eicha in a state of sadness? And let's not forget, perhaps, more than anything that we've said so far, let's not forget the reason that we were expelled from the land of Eretz Yisrael in the first place. What we read about in the Teichacha, where it says, why are Klal Yisrael divorced from the land? Why were we thrown into Golos? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Tachas! Asher lo yavadeta es Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvetuv leivav. Because we did not serve Hashem with joy and gladness of heart. It doesn't say that we did not serve Hashem. It doesn't say that we did not perform mitzvahs. We did perform mitzvahs. We were serving Hashem. But the critical ingredient that was missing was simcha, was joy in that service. So we were banished from the land because of the lack of enthusiasm and exuberance and joy and happiness with which we conducted ourselves in the service of Hashem. And yet we expect to restitute and restore the land and bring about the ultimate redemption and bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael by continuing with the same behavior that brought about our expulsion in the first place. How does that make sense? We sit here on Tisha B'Av bemoaning and bewailing our fate and hoping that that will reverse the decree, when all we need to do is open the book and discover that what got us here in the first place was the fact that we were miserable and sad in the service of Hashem. And here we are serving Hashem in sadness. It can't be that that is what the Avodah of Tisha B'Av is supposed to be. It cannot be that it is the will of Hashem that the Jewish people are supposed to beat themselves up and wallow in a state of misery and descend into the depths of depression and lose all hope and lose all faith and lose all sense of joy and happiness, even on a day like this. It cannot be right. When we said it was Hashem b'simchal this morning, we said it, we meant it. So we need now to try and understand what it is about Tisha B'Av, if it is not in conflict with Simcha, to try and understand the core of what indeed it should be. We know that Tisha B'Av is the anniversary of the worst travesties, the worst atrocities, the worst tragedies that ever befell a people. We know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on this day. We know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on this day. And we know many other tragic events throughout the course of history have taken place on this day, because there's a Jewish custom, there's a Jewish, sorry, concept, there's a Torah concept that says that time is not a linear continuum, but rather it's a spiral system where we come round to the same spot in the calendar every year, and once again that time is charged with the same energy, year on year. And therefore the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed on that day and the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed on that day spelled really disaster for generations to come. The Spanish expulsion, the English expulsion, because the edict was written on Tisha B'Av. The First World War, Germany declared war on Russia on Tisha B'Av. Many historians accept that the Second World War was merely the offshoot of the First World War, and the ultimate tragedy of the Holocaust. It's today, it's Tisha B'Av. Didn't even mention Beitar and the end of the Bar Kokhba revolt and many other disastrous historic events that we've lived through on this day on Tisha B'Av. But the root, the core, the seed of all of this was not even the second Beis HaMikdash, not even the first Beis HaMikdash. But prior to that, there was a Tisha B'Av that was experienced by Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, in the desert, before they even entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time as a nation. And that, of course, was the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Daled Amud Beis, says that when the Meraglim came back and told Klal Yisrael, the land is no good, and Klal Yisrael responded with tears, what the Gemara refers to as crocodile tears, tears of nothingness. Atem bechisem bechior shel chinom, you've cried useless, empty, baseless tears, no basis for them at all. That night was Tisha B'Av. And we read yesterday in Parashas Devarim that when Moshe Rabbeinu is reprimanding Klal Yisrael for their behavior in the desert, he says to them, "Uvadovar hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem." In this matter, your behavior depicted a lack of emuna in Hashem. That's the way it's described. The chet of the Meraglim, according to Moshe Rabbeinu, was a breakdown in emuna, in faith. Now, in Parsha Shlach Lecha, the Mefarshim have a huge debate as to what exactly was the nature of the Chet of the Meraglim. What exactly went wrong in the post-mortem, so to speak, of that event? There's a great titanic debate between all the great commentaries, the Rambam and the Ramban and many others, as to what exactly was the problem. Where was the fault line? Where was the breakdown? What was wrong? And it's not clear. But in this week's parasha, it's very clear. Uvadov azeh einchem ma'aminim. You did not show true faith, true emunah. Now, whether or not that is the central ingredient of the breakdown of the Meraglim, or whether it's a critical ingredient, a critical component, is not really, it doesn't really matter. Not doesn't really matter. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes it very clear that your behavior displayed a breakdown in your emunah. Now, where was this breakdown in emunah? If we are to say that they displayed a lack of emunah by sending the spies in the first place, if we say that that's the problem, where Hashem says this is a great land, and you say, well, let's check it out, and therein lay the breakdown in the emunah, if that's the pshat, then who cares what they said when they came back? It doesn't matter. It's immaterial. Let's say they came back and said, you know what, boys and girls? It's a wonderful land. Incredible. Guess what? God was right. Remarkable. Imagine they said that. Would that make the initial dispatch of the spies any better? The chutzpah? To say to Hashem, we hear what you've got to say, let us just check it out. That's like getting a present for your birthday that's all wrapped up. And before you say thank you, you sort of tear apart the wrapping a bit, just to see what it is inside. And when you're happy, thank you very much. A chutzpah. It's a chutzpah. Mishpa. You get a gift, you say Shkoyach, that's it. Hashem gives us a gift, he says it's a great land of Ores, Hatoiv, Azeh, Hohora, Azeh, Hatoiv, Halavonoin. Not quite in that order. But a great land, a wonderful land, gushing with springs and wonderful vegetation. And Klal Yisrael say, really? Okay, we're just going to go for a second opinion if that's okay. We'll just put you on hold, God. Just hang on there while we just send some people in to check out the land. Who cares the report that comes back? Das allein fehlt in Emunah. Elomai, it must be that it's not so straightforward as to say that the sending of the spies itself was a problem. Let's not forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctioned it. Shlach lecha anoshim, I'll let it happen. And the biggest proof to that is the fact that 40 years later, Yehoshua does the exact same thing. If it was such a calamity in the first place, how could Yehoshua think about sending spies in? We don't hear any problem with that. When they eventually came to conquer Israel, Yehoshua also sends spies into the land. It can't be that that's the problem. And if it was so clear that that was the problem, why are the Rishonim, you know, so bothered about getting to the crux of the matter? Just read the words. So therefore, perhaps that isn't the problem. So what does it mean when it says that Uvadova haze einchem ma'aminim? So for this, we need to understand quite a profound concept, but is rather straightforward in terms of its message. And that is, then in Chazal it says, Kol ha-koifer b'toivosoi shel chaveroi, le-basoif yichpor b'toivosoi shel mokoi, which translates as, anyone that is ungrateful for the good of his friend will ultimately come to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem himself. Let's analyze that for a moment. Based on the commentary of Rav Dessler in his addendum to the 13th perek of his Kuntres HaChesed in the first volume of Michta Miryo. Quoting this Chazal, Kol ha-koifer b'toivosoi shel chaveroi, if we are ungrateful to our friends, we will ultimately come to deny Hashem. Because the word that the Gemara uses is kol ha-koifer. If we are ingrates, if we are ungrateful, then the term that's used for that is koifer b'toivosoi. Someone who is grateful is someone who's called a makir toiv. We call it hakoras hatoiv. Appreciation is called hakoras hatoiv. What does the word hakora mean? Hakora literally means recognition. I recognize the good that somebody has done for me. That's someone who's makir toiv. What is someone who is ungrateful? That's someone who does not recognize, does not appreciate the good that's done for them. The term that's used for that is someone who's a koifer b'toivosoi. Now the word koifer, normally in Lashon of Chazal, is the term that we give to a heretic, to an apostate, to an apikoros, to someone who's an unbeliever, someone who's a disbeliever, someone who's anti. That's a koifer. And it's the same term. Because ultimately Hashem is good, Hatoiv Shimcha, that's his essence, that's his name. And if we don't have the attitude that allows us to recognize the good that comes to us from other people, ultimately we will deny the good that comes from Hashem himself. And if we do not, and if we deny the good that comes from Hashem, then we are denying the essence of Hashem as well. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv HaToiv Ki Loi Cholu Rachamecha. So ingratitude is synonymous with heresy. The inability to see the good is directly related and fundamentally associated with an inability to believe and to understand and to connect to a higher world. These two concepts are fundamentally related. Hashem lent his approval to Moshe Rabbeinu to send the spies into Eretz Yisrael. That was okay. That was sanctioned. That was given a heksha. Three heksherim. As many as you need. It was a kosher mission. Where did it break down? When they came back and they had the option, they had the opportunity to say, this is a glorious land. There are big people. It may be something in the water. There's wonderful fruits. Fabulous. You were able to eat off one watermelon for a week. You and your entire family and sit and learn in the Beis HaMedrash. Wonderful. Oh no. They chose to come back and said, there are giants. And their fruit is almost as gigantic as they are. And these big fortified cities. It's a horrible place. The inability to see the good of the land translated into a breakdown in their emunah. Because if you have a glass and it's half full, and you choose to define it as half empty, that negative mental attitude ultimately translates into a breakdown in the fundamental connection that we need to have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKoyfe B'Toivosoy L'Soif Yichpoer, somebody that's unable to see the good, to find the silver lining, is going to struggle with their faith, is going to struggle with meaning in life itself. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when he said, "Uvadovar hazeh inchem ma'aminim." Not that you sent the spies in the first place. Not even that you came back with a negative report. But it's all about your attitude. Eretz chemdo toivo rechova is a land of desire, of goodness and width and breadth, of everything you can imagine. And you choose to come back and put a negative spin on the whole thing. And the entire people just took it, sat on the floor and wept like children about nothing. This is where the first Tisha B'Av became a reality. And it all boils down to this small but very profound idea, which is Makir Tov. The ability to be grateful. The ability to see goodness. You see a parallel to this with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as well. As we read this morning in the Haftarah, Al Mo'ov Da Ha'aretz, why was the land lost? Next pasuk. Hashem says, Al Ozvo Mes Toirasi, because they did not keep my Torah, for forsaking my Torah. And as the Gemara says, it wasn't that they weren't learning Torah. Of course they were. They were Chachomim, Talmidei Chachomim, Nevi'im, of course. But the problem was, that they did not make the bracha before they learned Torah. What is a bracha? A bracha is an expression of gratitude. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us the Torah. Oh yes, they learned. Absolutely. Daf Yomi, left, right, and center. No problem. But the problem was they didn't say in the morning, Hashem, bracha bonu mikol ha'amim, v'nosan lo nues Torah. So thank you, Hashem, for the gift of Torah. It's a gift. They didn't appreciate the good sky, the wonderful nature of Torah. And the lacking in their belief in that and their appreciation and acknowledgement of that is what pulled down the Beis HaMikdash ultimately. The same applies to this day, to our attitude regarding life, regarding Torah, and ultimately Yerushalayim. What does the Pasuk say? Ura'ei betuv Yerushalayim. See the good in Yerushalayim. Baruch Hashem, in today's day and age, we can just get on a plane and psh, we're there. Before you know it, you're there. And yet we find time to fuss about, well, it's EasyJet, isn't it? It's not quite halal. And when we land, we're kept on the tarmac for 5 minutes longer. Everybody starts throwing their toys out of the pram. We get through customs and then we can't find the right monito, we can't find the right tender to get us there in time. And then Rechov Yafo is still chopped up and we can't find our way around. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, Eibetuv Yerushalayim! We can fuss about anything and everything in life if we want. It's all about what we want. It's an attitude issue. It's something that we can choose to see. It doesn't matter what's happening. Or a betuv, see the good. And we see this idea most profoundly manifest in the very first encounter with Yerushalayim ever. The very first encounter with Yerushalayim that we come across in the Torah is with Avraham Avinu, who's walking with his son Yitzchak towards what will become Yerushalayim. But they're on the way to the Akedah. And as they approach the mountain, and they see it in the distance, Avraham Avinu stops in his tracks. He's blown away, he's breathtaken by what he sees in front of him. He sees Yerushalayim, he sees the Beis Hamikdash, he sees the Divine Presence, he sees the heartbeats of the Jewish people, he sees our future, he sees our present, he sees our past, he sees it all in front of his eyes. He turns around to Yitzchak and he says, Yitzchak, what do you see? And Yitzchak looks up and he's equally taken aback. And Yitzchak says, I see a Beis Hamikdash, I see the Mokem Hamikdash, I see the future of our people, I see the heartbeat of our nation. And then Avraham Avinu turns around to two other chaps that were traveling with them at the same time. And they were Eliezer and Yishmael. And he says to them, tell me, young boys, what do you see? They weren't such young boys, actually, they were grown men. What do you see? And they look up. We see a mountain. That's what we see. We see a mountain. So Avraham Avinu turns around to them and says, you know what? Shivu lochem poi imachamor. You stay here with the donkey. Because you and the donkey see the same thing. As the Sforim point out, the word for a donkey is chamor. Chamor has its root in the word choymer. Choymer means materialism. All you can see is a mountain. You don't get it. You stay here whilst myself with Yitzchak, Nelcha, Avkoi, we'll keep going. Because you are profoundly lacking in your ability to appreciate the profundity and depth and holiness of this place. You're unable to see beyond the surface. You have a skin deep impression. You are not able, and it's all about the re'eh, it's all about the perception, it's all about what you see, it's all about what you choose to see. The name Yerushalayim contains that concept itself, because Yerushalayim is a composite of Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yeroeh, and Shleimus, one from Malki Tzedek, Shem Ben Noach, and one from Avraham Avinu. To the ability to see through, the ability to detect the godless, the greatness, the grandeur, the depth, the profundity, the incredible holiness of a place. That re'eh betuv Yerushalayim was lacking, so they could not have any association with it. And when we, Klal Yisrael, exhibited the same blindness as those two gentlemen with regard to our appreciation of Yerushalayim, Hashem said, also, Shivu lachem poim achamor, you go out to the stables. You go out to the Golus. Because we've lost that appreciation. Always reminds me of the famous story with the Ponovitcherov. When he got to Bnei Barak, which was just a hill. And he stood there and he was in another world. And when somebody, one of the members of his entourage, interrupted his reverie, He said, can't you hear it? Can't you hear? They said, well, hear what? There was nothing, just some birds chirping. Hear what? He said, I hear the voices of 1,000 Talmidim learning Torah. They were like, Ponovitcherov, you've lost your mind. I mean, they probably didn't say it like that, but they were like, there's nothing, it's just a hill. And that spot became the Ponovitch Yeshiva. Because he had that foresight, he had that inner vision, the ability to penetrate and find the inner depth that often gets lost in the mundane running of daily life. The word moed, the root of the word moed, means destination. La'olam voed. Ya'ad. Ad. Until you get to that spot. That's why it was referred to as the Ohel Moed. Because all roads run into Yerushalayim and ultimately into the Ohel Moed, that centerpiece of Jewish life. It's the goal. It's the destination. It's the place that one aims towards. In Halacha, brought down from Chazal, Kol ha'oichel v'shoyse b'tisha b'av ein aroya b'simchas Yerushalayim. Anyone that eats or drinks on Tisha B'av, and we'll translate it as it is often translated, perhaps erroneously, anyone that eats or drinks on Tisha B'av will not see in the rejoicing of Yerushalayim. But anyone that mourns Jerusalem, anyone that mourns Yerushalayim, he will merit to see its rejoicing. But in reality, that's not what it says. If we are going to be pedantic and translate the words precisely, we'll see that that's not how it's translated into the English. What it actually says is that anyone that eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av does not see, in the present tense, the joy of Yerushalayim. But anyone that mourns Jerusalem, anyone that mourns Yerushalayim, Zoiche Veroye, present tense, merits and sees now the joy of Yerushalayim. Meaning, when we sit for 25 hours and all we talk about is Yerushalayim, and all we talk about is the essentiality of Yerushalayim and its centrality to our life, how much we are lacking without it, how much life is incomplete and imperfect without the Beis HaMikdash, and that's all we focus on, then what's happening is that we are bringing Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash back into focus, bringing it back into the center of our vision. We stop and we think, what is life all about anyway, if we are not able to serve Hashem at the optimum level in the holiest place on earth? What's it all for anyway? And when we focus in and we think about Yerushalayim as the Kalilas Yoifi, as Mesois Kol Ha'aretz, the center of joy and beauty on earth, and we realize how lacking we are without it, then it's not so different as to when you emerge from that tunnel where your GPS, your sat-nav, has lost its signal, and you come out the other side and you're panic-stricken. Now what? Where? And all of a sudden, there it is. The signal is back on. The screen has come alive. Take the next exit. The joy that that brings, the joy that that engenders, is the simcha that we are talking about here today. Because Yerushalayim is our anchor. Yerushalayim is what all of Torah and all of Jewish life is centered upon. And it's so empty without it, that when Yerushalayim comes back into focus and we're able to log on, to latch on, to home in on that place and everything that it entails, a certain sense of simcha descends. The simcha that is engendered by clarity, by understanding, by having found our way once again after having lost it throughout the year, floundering as we are, missing the central piece. And we tell ourselves, actually, Yerushalayim is what it's all about. We daven towards Mizrach. We daven that Hashem should return to Yerushalayim. And later we daven that we should see that. Two different tefillahs. One is for Hashem that he should go home. We say, Hashem, come home. And later we say, let our eyes behold that return. Let's see it. Walked home from shul yesterday with someone who told me that last Sunday he got in his car and he drove to Paris. Drove to Paris to watch the British cyclist win the Tour de France. This cycling competition where they're right up and down the Alps and the Pyrenees. And he got in his car and drove to Paris to see his hero come home. On Tisha B'Av, 1 week later, we want to be in Yerushalayim to see our hero come home. B'shuv chol l'tzion. And in a convoluted kind of way, that gives a certain sense of reassurance. There is a future, it's the Moed, it's the destination. We know where we're going, we know what it's about. We remind ourselves of what life is all about. We remind ourselves that Golus is not good enough, even in these so-called good times. If this is what we call good times, heaven forfend what's coming down the road. And in that sort of interesting perspective on life, with that sort of perspective, we are able, in a certain sense, to be zoiche v'roye now. I'm not seeing this anywhere. For now, it's my chiddush. When it comes out, I'll take the copyright off. But the Loshon of Chazal is zoiche v'roye. When we mourn Yerushalayim, we are happy. As I state, that's what it says. Kolam is abel zoiche v'roye. Now. It's not in the future tense. It's active participle. Zoiche v'roye now. Because we've gained the clarity. We're back on the road. Mizrach, where we've davened for thousands of years. Never mind everybody else that claims Yerushalayim for their own. And then turn their back on it and face Saudi Arabia. This is the Moed of Tisha B'Av. This is why we can be Ivdu as Hashem. The Simcha. Because despite the hardships, we know we're not lost. And there is a method to the madness. And all we need to do is learn from the mistake of the Meraglim and those that came after them. Not to find fault, not to find the problems, but to focus in on the Gutzkeit, on the wonder, on the beauty of Hashem's world, life around us. Or a betuv, to see the goodness. This is why we finished Kinnis this morning with Elit Zion Be'oreho, Kamoi Isho Betzireho. The crying of Tisha B'Av is compared to the crying of a mother who's going through labor pangs, the pangs of labor. Not because that's supposed to be the greatest pain on earth, but because that sort of crying is very different from a mournful cry. A mournful cry is over something that's happened that we can do nothing about. We just miss it. The cry of a mother about to have a child is a cry of profound pain. Profound pain. But it's a cry for the future. I know what's coming. I know where I'm going. It's a moyed. There will be a moyed. There'll be a point in the graph of time where we will arrive and there will be joy. And that itself brings simcha. No one ever called a mother in labor depressed. There's something called postpartum depression. But that's just hormonal imbalance. But a mother b'shas maisa b'tzireha is not depressed. She's in pain, but she's not depressed. Depression does not appear in the Jewish lexicon. It's not a Yiddish midah to be depressed. It's not allowed. Because depression implies lost, no direction. Nevuchim heim ba'oretz meloshim bechi. We cry because we can't see. That's not allowed. Of course we can see. Because all roads lead to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the moed, the yad la'olam voed. That's the place where we're going. The ad of all ads, the ultimate destination. The Vayaris HaMokoim Meirochoik. Avraham Avinu's ability to see the Mokoim, referenced HaKadosh Baruch himself from a distance. And when we have that, then all the pain is put into perspective, and it falls under a banner of even, Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha. So let no one make the mistake.